Welcome to the Skating Session. My name is Tony Wheeler. I'm here with Thomas Vu. We are both longtime fans of the sport. We both attended the 2025 World Figure Skating Championships. We're going to highlight the event. First in this video, we're going to start off with a little intro to the event, the background of the arena, some of the things we really liked. Also feature the women's competition. In another video, we'll go over the pairs and the dance competition. And finally, the men's competition, along with some of our thoughts about skating in general, our outlook for the Olympics and other things we'd like to see in the future. So starting off, my name is Tony Wheeler. I've been a fan of the sport for 32 years now. I watched 1993 Worlds. I've been hooked ever since. In the past, I've done official websites when those used to be a thing. I cut music for skaters. I've helped skaters with the IJS system when it first came out and there was limited information on it. And I've kept up with the sport as much as I can, doing promotions and other little things around the sport.
Hey, and I'm Thomas Vu. Again, a longtime fan. Honestly, on the nerdier side, I vibe with Tony a lot. And the rules are how I have fun, and I can definitely feel that all the time. And I was just really glad to be able to go out to Boston this time around. It was just really a special event in so many ways. And, you know, I could talk about it endlessly, but I can't really wait to get into it. So,
yeah, just before we start, Thomas and I both read the rule book for fun. Really, it's one of our hobbies, going over all the new rules and the adjustments.
For real, yeah.
Yeah, and we have a lot of opinions about what works and what doesn't work, and we'll go over that eventually. But starting off, so this is my first Worlds that I actually attended in person, and I was really happy that it was in Boston. I know that was ran really well in 2016. Unfortunately, I didn't really have a job for a long time that enabled me to travel to these events. Now I have more freedom, so I'm kind of all out, and I'm hopefully going to attend everything I can in the future. One thing I will say, starting off with Boston, I was amazed. Even when I landed in the airport, there were advertisements all over the airport that had big pictures of the skaters advertising the skating. Outside the arena, the steps leading up to the arena were filled with 2025 Worlds. There were banners all over the place around the city. The elevators in the official hotel, everything was just very, very skating focused. And I was really impressed with how they stepped it up to make it known to everybody that the Worlds was there. And speaking of which, most of the events were nearly sold out. The final few days, I think the men's and women's free skate were pretty much sold out. The earlier events, not so much, but for a weekday in the United States, it was pretty good.
For real, yeah. One of my biggest things that I heard was just hearing regular Bostonians talk about it, you know, grabbing like coffee or something and just seeing all the banners. So even then, just if you're just a local, you had an awareness. And so whatever they were doing to promote, just this kind of like omnipresent, all-encompassing way of just getting world figure skating out there, it really was good to see. You know, I feel like they're being way more intentional, like they have good consultants now, about really how to do this and how to run an event and how to really get people excited.
Yeah. Some of the things that I maybe wasn't such a fan of, the time between the events, I understand that you cannot make the day go on forever and ever. Practice the first day went on for 17 hours. I'm going to talk about that later. I was there for all of it. But during the competition, they really only gave an hour or an hour and 15 minutes between each segment of the competition. And they wanted everybody to leave and then stand in a line to get back in again. Food options were very sparse inside the arena. There were many different booths, but they all had the same food more or less. So if you wanted to venture outside and eat dinner, it was more of a mad rush to find the closest restaurant and then get back in line. I know that example for the men's free skate, we were stuck in a line that wrapped all the way down the street. And I think we missed a skater and a half at least.
From
standing in line to getting in was probably about 20 or 25 minutes. So,
but we got to talk to Paul Wiley while we were waiting.
Yeah, we did. Paul Wiley was actually right next to us, line, way in the back of the line.
Right. I know. It was really weird because like he just has a regular person's ticket. I'm like, how did you not get the pass just to get in?
That was interesting. And I don't care. I asked him what his favorite programs are. He really didn't give me an answer, but I told him what my favorite programs were. So that was nice to talk to him. We also saw him in the stands earlier in the week, but that was a nice little thing to help pass the time while we stood in the line. And also one of the things they did to help out with this kind of mad rush was if you attended the practices in the morning, you could show your ticket for the next event and they would give you a bracelet so that you didn't have to leave the arena. All week long, they did not care about that bracelet. I did not, you know, I walked around the concourse for quite a while in between. Not one person said anything. Then we get to the last day. And in the span of 10 minutes, we no less than 10 times were asked to show our bracelets. So people were really on top of it the last day. Before that, not so much.
Right. It really felt like they were figuring out how to run the event as it was going on, and it just seemed like they kept finding ways to make it worse and worse. And again, that's nothing on the local organizing committee or US figure skating. That's all like arena. I just didn't think they really understood what this was, even if they had done this already 9 years ago.
Yeah, and kind of snowballing off of that, some of the ushers were terror as far as making sure every single person was in their right seat and yelling at entire rows of people and demanding to see their tickets. And other ushers just did not care. They were like, go sit wherever you want. We don't care. Which, when the event started to get really busy, it did cause problems because people would go to their seats and then it would cause a commotion because the ushers would be like, well, now we need to see everybody's tickets because someone's not in the right seat. Yeah, whatever. I mean, all in all, I have to say though, the organization of the event was fantastic and everything went off really smooth,
Really was, yeah.
except for that wait time in between getting to into the arena. But even that was really quick. They didn't really do bag searches. They weren't really meticulous about anything. It was just the amount of people trying to get in.
Yeah,
So
and it
that
was really inconsistent. Yeah, the typical like, here's what we normally do, and I know that for like hockey games, basketball games, they're really strict. You are not bringing in a bag, but I think for figure skating and them trying to understand who this audience is, and we're all kind of like pack rats in a way. Yeah, so you can just see that they just had to stop caring about it.
Yeah.
I think I got searched once.
No, yeah, I remember you had to stand in the beginning line. Yeah,
Yeah, the
I
one line.
through. Yeah. So all everything good, really all good things to say about the event. Everything was, obviously the skating was amazing. We're going to get into that, but as overall as an organization, it was really, really, really good.
And even just like in the arena, I know this from home, especially watching US Nationals and some of these, like even just kiss and cries, it feels like last minute put together, like an afterthought where
Oh,
this
we're
did
going to get
not,
into
it
all of that
felt
stuff.
good.
Yeah. Yeah. We're going to get into all the changes that IFU has made. Some of the stuff started to show up earlier this season. I think they amped it up even more for this event. We're going to go line by line and talk about what we feel about all these different changes. But going into the practice sessions, I know you didn't attend as many as I did, but I was one of those freakish people that set my alarm for 5 o'clock in the morning. And I was on the first day, I actually posted to social media that I was the very first person in the rink. And I made a video
Yeah, I believe
standing
it.
around the entire rink. There was literally no one else there. I was ready for that 17 hours of practice. I recorded every single skater, posted it to Instagram. I was, my first worlds, like I said, I wanted to go full out and at least
Gonna
get some
say, did you do that all day on Tuesday too?
all day on Tuesday. So I got there at 5:30 in the morning and Ilya skated his practice almost at 11 p.m. So yeah, it was 17 hours. Yeah, my eyes were very dry. They were red. I probably looked like a crazy person to everybody that talked to me, but it was worth it. And I every single video that I posted, on that first day, there was no camera in the main rink. So those videos were getting shared a lot on social media. And I was really
Oh, there
appreciative.
wasn't one? Oh, okay. I didn't realize it didn't air the
No, the
practices.
main
Oops,
arena
oops.
didn't have any. And that's why I was like, okay. At first I was doing little clips of, I know most of the programs already from seeing them all season. So I'm like, all right, I'll record this or this. By the end of the day, I was just like, oh, I have my camera in my hand anyways. I'm just going to record the entire program, and that's that. So, but it was nice.
Well,
I
yeah,
got a front row experience. I did that at Skate America as well, and I prefer for competition not to be in those first few rows just because I feel like my neck would be all over the place. But for the practice, it's nice, and you kind of hear what they're saying when they go around you around the barriers and. It's just a different view, and it also gives, if you're going to take videos, you get like that up close, like very, very, very exclusive look. So I enjoyed it.
I'm the same. Practices enjoy being right on the ice, whereas competition give me like a little up, like the
Yeah.
eagle eye view, not necessarily super eagly, but yeah.
So let's go over all these changes that the ISU has
Oh my
done this
God,
season.
so good.
When we get to the women's event, which is next, I'm gonna discuss how I think some of these changes actually worked out really well because the intensity in the arena, I find it hard to believe that in recent years there's been anything like that. It was crazy. But so one of the first new ideas that they started, I believe they started it maybe at the Grand Prix final, is this tunnel and then the individual introductions of the skaters. They run out onto the ice. They don't stand on the ice and then get introduced there. They run out and that's how they get introduced. I like that. I think that gives
I
them
like it too.
a little bit of a, like, oh, not all of them. Ilya kind of swagged onto there. And I think someone earlier in the maybe did a handstand I can't remember who, but they all kind of made their intros personalized, and that amped up the crowd. The LED boards, which I think are great. You know, they didn't really change throughout the competition, but at least when they were getting introduced around the boards, it would say who it was, which was
Right.
nice. The Kiss and Cry also had the LED board, which, let's be real, those Amlacton bottles, like anything would have been better than that. I went to Ohio State and I was tired of seeing Ohio State all over the place. You know, I
Right.
understand. For USFSA, they're a big deal, but for Worlds, I was like, all right, you know, they had little video montages of the skaters that probably when they first got their credentials, they had to make like a little video. So you see that and you see their names there and you see their coaches. That was nice. The interviews in the Kiss and Cry, I want to know how you feel about this.
Okay, well, yeah. So first, really love the Kiss and Cry, the how it looks now. I love the LED board in the background. It almost kind of like removes that whole how do we decorate this mentality. And I feel like in the US, we've never really understood that. And so again, we put giant Amlacton bottles everywhere. Yeah. So the actual interviews, I just am not a fan of in the Kiss and Cry post skate, because half the time they just got off the ice. They're exhausted mentally, emotionally, physically. And they're not at their best to give an answer. And you can see that to where even if you're an English speaker and you're hearing this question, you're not answering it because you don't have that mental capacity to process it. You're still processing what just happened the last 4 minutes. So I'm really just not a fan. It really could became a lot of just generic answers, inappropriate questions at times when if someone's having not a great skate and you go up and then ask them about it, and it's like, yeah, they're still not ready to talk about this, and yet here we are forcing them to in front of tens of thousands of people. And that's where I'll leave that right now. It's just, I don't think it's great. And then the actual questions and
I don't
questioners weren't
you know
great.
I don't know that I'm curious to know how far in advance Ashley and Ben knew that this was going to happen. If you watch videos of skating in the 80s, which I'm a freak about this, and I've watched everything there is to watch, they used to do this in the 80s, and ABC was notorious for shoving a microphone in someone's face before the scores came up, and they David Santee, I think, was one of the people, or maybe it was Jean-Michel Petkovic, but one of them used to do this all the time. And I remember at the Olympics, they did it to Brian Orser, where one of them said, "You skated great, but you finished second place. How do you feel?" Like, this is the Olympics. Obviously, they're still processing what's going on. Obviously, the networks want this moment, but I don't think it's the greatest idea. Ashley ended up doing the majority of the interviews, and it was basically, "How do you feel?" And they'd be like, "Oh, I feel great. Thanks for the Boston support," which is great. You get the claps out of it. But I do remember, I think it was Kimi Räikkönen in the free skate. Her first two elements obviously didn't go as she wanted. And I think it was Ben that interviewed her. I might be wrong, but he said something to the extent of, "Well, the program didn't start out how you wanted it to." I don't know. For me, I think that they could have just skipped that whole thing and just. You know, I don't know. I feel like maybe younger fans and people that maybe aren't so involved in the sport probably thought it was cool. But and then we had two instances of the Japanese skaters. They get a question in English and they answer completely in Japanese, which is fine. I mean, you shouldn't be expected to speak English, but everyone's like clapping like crazy for them, and
I
it's like,
know, I was there too. I don't know what you said, but I loved it with
So
Gamba.
I mean, it's fine. They should be able to do that. I just think that it threw some of them off because it is something brand new and they're testing it at Worlds. So, no.
Yeah, it just felt awkward. It didn't feel like it was in a rhythm. I didn't know what to expect. They didn't do it for everybody, so I don't know what went into why they would ask some and not others. And if it's a language barrier, again, that needs to
Well, there,
be
I could
rethought of.
actually. I saw Ashley, I think, asking the coaches right before the skaters got off the ice, like, would they be able to interview? I think I saw her doing that. Interesting, because they started out like full force with every single the women's short program was first, and they were asking all the skaters in the beginning how they felt, and then there was a long, like, good skates, but no one was there to do anything. So I really don't know how they came up with that process. But I do have to mention they have this radio DJ named Psych, who was like, you could call him basically the master of ceremonies for this event. At first, I was kind of like, because he even said, "I'm not a figure skating fan. This is a new world for me. Like, what is this guy doing?" You know. But I have to say, and this is to U.S. figure skating. You need to get new people during the practice sessions. You need to get new people that know how to pronounce the skaters' names. You need to have people that follow the sport that know the world champions' names. They need to know the people in the top 10. They need to know everyone's names. But it is excruciating to listen to them in the practices. Kind of phonetically, every syllable say the wrong thing of the most basic names. It's really excruciating. But I'm segueing into this psych guy who really nailed every single name, and he was very good at getting the audience amped up, and he was very good at everything he did. I was really impressed. I hope, he was hired probably specifically for the United States, but he would be good for any competition, really.
I really do feel like the same way about that. Like I at first was kind of like, who is this guy? And I know they always in every sport they kind of do like the other person who's not in the sport, they're just the everyman watching what are they seeing and everything. But I was like, oh wow, he's just really consistent. He's just trying not to let things like go, right? Let the energy die. He's constantly pushing it on us. And it felt good though, like in the arena, I really felt that energy constantly. And then, just going back to what you said about him, his pronouncing names, I really agreed with that too. And I know, like in the practices, oftentimes it's some volunteer, some poor person, they just get to do this. But I agree with you that if you're a competitor, that they can't feel good to just like go to an ISU championship level competition and just have your name butchered like that. So at least I was glad he wasn't doing that in the arena. Actually during the competition.
Very impressed. In
But
reality,
it
does this for a
yeah.
living? Yeah.
But the inter-arena commentary though, I don't know like how I feel about it. I honestly don't attend a lot of major sporting competitions in general, but I'm watching tennis and things like that. Tennis, you're never co there's no live commentary of the event during. And maybe that's one thing too I would do away with, the actual live commentary from that in-arena team during the event. It's just kind of it feels very strange. Yeah, I don't know.
Oh, and that's another thing they changed for this event. Ashley and Ben were the ones that were announcing the skaters as they went onto the ice, and they were the ones that were doing the profiles of the skaters during the warm-up, which I like that, and I think that more or less they did a good job. Sometimes I know they were reading from the ISU bios, but they were saying things that were like maybe not the best to mention. I don't know. Like I would hear more about like some interesting hobby or something than
I
hey,
know, right?
10th place. This is why I'm in this
I
competition. So that would be something else that I think that they could
would
plan.
have loved them for been like, Loparova, her hobby is existential dread,
Well, they did say
like
that. They
some.
did.
Oh, they did. Oh wait,
And
how did I miss
maybe one of
that?
them. I think so. I remember hearing it. So, like I said, they're getting it from the ISU bios. I'm sure that it's probably presented to them on the monitor and they're just reading from it. But I think maybe a little bit more work if they continue to do this. We'll see if this is just a one-time thing or whatever. The DJ, I don't remember what his name is. They showed him a few times on the big screen, but
I
I think
know,
the
right?
DJ had a really good playlist for the warm-ups. I think that it really amped things up as well. It was a good choice of music with a beat that really got people energized, I
Right.
think. I also
Yeah, I think that idea too. Yeah, constant energy to where you're just not letting it after the skate, you're just keeping the energy up. Yeah.
I think one thing that maybe I'm on my own with is they played that ominous music in the Kiss and Cry like right before the scores would come up. It was I wouldn't say it's ominous. I would say it's like more like this hopeful maybe wins. I don't know how you would describe it, but they played music.
Ha. Yeah,
I
something
liked
like
it.
that.
I liked it. I don't know. I don't. That's
It
the
honestly was like a nothing to me. It
yeah.
happened. I didn't really focus on it at all.
Yeah,
Yeah.
no, I don't know. I enjoyed it. That was one thing that I enjoyed. The other thing that they started doing this year is when there's 1 minute left in the warm-up, they also changed the music to this more upbeat, kind of intense.
Oh,
But I
okay.
like that too. I actually like that. I heard some people around me say they did not like it, but I actually like it. I don't know. Like kind of amps everything up some more.
Yeah,
Okay.
no, it builds up the anticipation. And at least from a spectator's standpoint, I think that's really good. If they're thinking about the audience, I can hear an argument to where it's like for the athletes, it kind of gets their adrenaline going, blah. But I'm like, you're an athlete, you should be able to deal with anything. That's kind of just the territory, right?
Yeah,
You
but
don't.
their adrenaline up is a good thing usually, I mean, I would rather be, psyched. But let's talk about one thing I think that has been like the most, from what I've seen, the most split opinion. The leader's chair being,
Oh,
I don't know,
split? Who
it's like,
likes
I would say
it?
there was like
I
for the shape. So there's
I
like,
didn't hear anyone who said they liked it.
so I'm gonna say, I was like, this is weird, but we got actually a few really good moments out of it. The way the Kiss
We
and Cry
did, you're
shape
right.
was like I don't know, it was shaped in a like round way so that you could not see the leader's chair. It was in its own little section, but I thought at first it was weird. I'm like, this is weird. The skaters sitting up here with no coach, no team, no nothing. They have to kind of celebrate on their own if they stay in first place, right?
Yeah.
Or I know that they had the leader's room and they had the couches. I think that the coaches were still, right behind the camera or whatever. But with this one, they were all on their own. So I was like indifferent to it, indifferent to it. And then we had the Denis Vasiliev's moment during the ice resurfacing where I think it was Sweet Caroline or something. They were singing the song, everyone in the arena was, and they kept putting the camera on Denis, and he was all into it, and he had his phone lit up, all excited by it. So that was nice. You know, that was a nice moment. And then we also got the moment between Alyssa and Kaori in the women's competition that, you know, you wouldn't have necessarily seen that exact moment.
Same with
Kaori,
Kaori and Wakaba too.
yeah,
Same thing.
exactly. Wakabi was crying, Kaori was crying. You would not necessarily see that reaction because who's gonna, I know that they would put the camera on the skater in the back right before the scores came up, but we saw like that whole
But
interaction.
in the arena too, that adds that energy too. And I was just watching Alyssa skate, the NBC broadcast version of it, and I'm just like, wow, you could really feel it. Obviously, we're there, we could feel the insanity of everything going on and just the feelings and the crying, but you could still feel that even at home. And I think everything they're doing now, I think adds to that suspense that even an audience has, through the television.
Yeah, I think it will stay. Honestly, I think it's going to stay.
Good. No, I think so. I think most of it should stay. Like, honestly, if I were to say take all of it or take none of it, take all of it. Even the bad stuff that I don't like, I'd rather keep all of it than have none of this
Yeah,
again.
it's
Like,
getting into the modern ages. We're getting out of the 1980s and 70s, and we're
Right.
going.
And at that point, we're just kind of nitpicking certain things. But in terms of like TV and the actual suspense and competition, I think the leader's chair is a good idea. I personally don't like it. And in the future, to event organizers, please make sure you have a blanket for each competitor so they don't
Yeah,
have to share.
we all talked about that, how they're all using the exact same blanket. You have skaters crying into the blanket and they're handing it up.
Covering themselves
They're,
with it.
yeah,
Some are just sitting on it, but
yeah,
it's the
just sitting
same
on top of
blanket.
it. Yeah, they need
And
to
then
cover
even for pairs that first day, they only had one blanket between the two.
it.
And to me, it was like, who forgot to buy blankets for
Yeah, I don't
everybody?
know. I know it was a big blanket, but still, come on, you know,
Right,
they should.
NBC, go buy some blankets.
Yeah.
It's a big
Go to that
blanket.
Amlactin bottle and buy some blankets, you know.
Like, for real.
Okay, so we've talked about all that stuff. Let's get into
Oh,
the
yeah.
competition. I really I was
Are we just
texting
gonna go off the
big
top?
arena. What?
Are we just going off the top? Let's start top.
Yeah.
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 Okay.
I really for the free skate, the intensity, the energy. I was texting people as this final group was going, and I was like, I don't care if you don't like skating, turn this on. This is insane. I have never ever, I don't attend that many events. I've attended events, but this was on a new level. And I have to say, I'm gonna break in to kind of spill a little something. I was sitting right next to Brian Boitano, Linda Lever, his coach. Scott Hamilton was right behind me. Christy Yamaguchi was right behind me. At certain points of the competition, Nancy Kerrigan was there.
Thank you,
Paul
Fleming.
Wiley was there for a minute one time. Ty Babylonia and Randy Gardner were a few seats down from us.
Yeah.
So we really were in the center of kind of the ISU and the USFSA royalty. And Christy Yamaguchi was losing her mind about how good the skating was. I mean, she was so into it. She kept apologizing to me for screaming because I was literally right in front of her. And I was like, no, you're living your best life. You're excited for this. When
Oh,
Alyssa was
please,
skating, when
yes.
she got to her last jump, I turned around and like, this is, and it was a double axel, but I was like, this is her last jump. Just so you know, they all crazy. Everyone was going crazy.
Yes.
It was so good. So let's talk about Alyssa. You know, I think going
Yeah,
in,
for real.
her whole season, she's just been. Her story is, oh, I went skating one day because I was bored. And by the end of the session, I was doing triples. And I'm like, oh, I missed this. And this whole season, she's been so, whoa, whatever happens,
It's
happens.
the
Come
cherry on top. Yeah, it's the
on.
skating. Even for like me as a fan, it's just the cherry on top. I'll be honest, I didn't enjoy her skating on her first time around. Up until 2002 when she retired, I was just like, okay, one done, bye. And she came back. I was really questioning it. I do follow her on Instagram and seeing those videos where she's just posting like triple ups, triple flips. She's like, I've been on the ice for a week. It's like you're already posting videos and you've been on the ice for a week after not skating for like over a year. And now seeing this now, like, I don't know what it's like for you, but it's almost just kind of like, I'm like hitting myself a little bit for being such kind of like just not being seeing this. I didn't see this as a possibility at all that she's going to go out here and win worlds. This first year
I
back. For
didn't
me, it's
either.
like maybe she'll make the Olympic team, and that's the point,
You know,
Yeah.
she went to four continents and she was third out of the three US women that were there, right? I'm pretty sure.
Fourth. Wasn't she
No,
fourth?
third out of the three US women.
Oh, yes. Yeah, sorry.
Yeah. So, you know, it was fourth overall, but Maybe, and I'll, like maybe top six, maybe have a good ending to her season. I do. I've said all season long though, Massimo Scali, who is her choreographer, I think this short program for her is like
It
insanely
is.
good. Like this
I
is
cried.
a step
Yeah, first
up
time.
from anything she ever did before. And the free skate at first, MacArthur Park, I'm gonna just go into a random spiel, but I worked as a bartender for a long time, and at the end of the night the DJ would always ask like, oh, what songs do you want to play? And I swear to God, I still have the text where I'm always like, play MacArthur Park, please. So I was very excited to hear that this was what she was choosing. Earlier in the season, I was kind of worried, she gets to this halfway point and she's losing a little bit of stamina. The choreography maybe gets a little bit empty just because she's not 100% conditioned, which to be expected, she's been out
And
of.
you can see that, yeah. I mean, there's a reason she's ending on a double axel, as opposed to
So
like a triple loop or something.
yeah, but at Worlds it did not matter. I'm saying it got thrown
For
out
real, no, I had
your
that thought
face.
too.
And
I remember turning to you and being like, she covered no ice in that second half. I don't care.
who cares? Who
Who
cares? And
cares?
they kept the Jumbotron kept doing a really good job. They would do these up closes of her, and she's having the best time and just smiling and like almost laughing at how ridiculous this whole how it's gone full circle from her to just be like, okay, I'm just coming back to have fun. And now I'm like landing every jump and the audience is going crazy. And it was really, really something else. I have no doubt that she won when she or she was going
Of
to
course,
plates at least
none. I,
when she
even
moved
like even
up.
us, but we're sitting there and oh, under Q, whatever, whatever. I was watching that and I'm like, I wouldn't have reviewed anything. Maybe like the flip edge, but that's about it. Nothing else like really.
She had like that, I think that was that energy from the arena that gave her the
Right,
extra
really was best
everything,
skate probably she's skated probably ever. Like really, when you think about it in terms of like actually just. The actual technique, it's like even when she had skated clean before, every jump was kind of like, this is good. This is good. Like,
This is
I
good. And
felt
then,
so good about it.
they interview her right after she wins. It's like, what the hell?
I know. No, do you see that in the broadcast? She, on the NBC broadcast that I rewatched, literally when she goes up, she's hugging Massimo. She's just like, what the
It was really amazing. I'm really happy she had that moment. Kyori Sakamoto, to be honest with you, I am a massive fan of hers. I think that she's had more
gifts.
iffy miss programs in this
Yes.
Olympic cycle. And
I agree.
I her short program is okay. I'll say it's okay for her skating style and this more like, I don't want to say uptight, but more rigid skating. It worked. The free skate, I love Shailynn Bourne. I think that she's great. I just think that this program just has so much going on. I respect that it has so much going on, but it's hard to get into it. And then you see her skate her exhibition, and she can hold her lines, and she can get these nice positions. In the free skate, I feel like there's a lot of this with her
Yeah.
arm.
And
It's
it's just
hard.
sloppy. Yeah. Everything's sloppy. Everything's unfinished in the free skate. Like, it's not my favorite either. And part of it's just like, that's just not who she is, I think, as a skater to be doing Chicago. She doesn't really give me that kind of like, what would you call that?
Confidence in
She
the
can't
program.
hold the tension needs, that confidence, that
Oh,
almost like
yeah.
sultry tension where like she can, extend her fingers out and make you feel that. That's not her. She is that kind of more esoteric avant-garde skater at heart, which is why I think her Benoit programs always worked. Even if my opinion of him as a choreographer, whatever that is, those work for
Oh, we're
her.
going to
Give
speak
me
about one program in
her.
a little
Oh,
bit
her. But I'm
here.
like, I love the piano. Give me the piano. Give
Yeah.
me that weird clock arm again. Like, I'm all for that. That worked for Bayori.
The thing that was interesting to me, and I don't want to read into anything, but I do check the interviews after I check everything in skating. But she said something at Skate Canada earlier this year. Someone asked her about Chicago, and she said, she didn't say, oh, I really like it. She said, my choreographer said that it's going to be really good. She said, I need to stick with this program. And I thought in my head, does she really feel this program? I don't know. It looked like she really did. And I'm not taking anything away from Worlds because she skated great. This is a redemption for her in a lot of ways. I just feel like maybe go back to the little bit more off kilter, more, give her music where these awkward shapes will work. Rather than kind of being frantically throwing everything in. And I love transitions as much as the next person, even if they're not in PCS anymore. I still like when a program is complete. I just feel like there was too much going on here. But anyways, she skated great. There's no doubt she deserved to be back on the podium.
On
I'm
the
happy.
podium, honestly though, I would have just considering the Lutz edges, and now that she's
Well,
like,
that
no one's calling them, let's do two Lutzes now
yeah,
instead of just the
exactly.
one. They're both E. We even had some folks in our ear who were like, "That's a huge inside edge."
So
So I mean,
we had some
yeah.
experts at the sport. If you don't listen to fans that know a lot, listen to the skaters that have done this, listen to some of the officials. We heard, her Lhotse edge, she's gotten away with it for so long. I think maybe last year at Worlds they finally called it. But
An
now
exclamation, right? That's
I'm
it.
not sure. But this year she's like, they're not calling it. Let me add a second one. When she
For
has
real, yeah.
a beautiful loop, like that, the loop is one of her best jumps. She should just do two of those. But she's not getting hit for
Right.
it. Why not just get more points for it? It is what it is.
Exactly. Yeah. If you're not going to call it, that point in base value difference between Lutz and loop is big.
Monet Chiba, there's another split opinion on her short program. I think she does well with it. She has fun with it. That double axel, that landing edge, and that running circle that she does extended. It's not the only thing I like about the program, but I think she gets into it, and I thought it was a lot of fun. Her free skate is really, really beautiful. I was worried that maybe some of the jumps looked a little bit. She's not the biggest jumper, but I thought in the free skate she actually looked pretty good. I wasn't sure if
I
she,
thought they looked good. Yeah. I mean, she's not the
but
biggest jumper, but it's
yeah.
very nice, easy, compact technique. She's not doing those wild swings. So like I never feel like under rotation is coming guaranteed, like with some of these other skaters. But I really liked her too for that same reason. And I love the contrast between her and Kaori. You have these completely different skaters. She is this more classic
Monet is
elegance.
more typical Japanese,
Yes,
the
yeah.
stuff that
In a
we.
really good way, though. I like that. I like that really
Oh my
understated
God, yeah.
style.
I would
Yeah.
rather see all these skaters in 15th and 20th place at Japanese nationals that have these amazing basics,
Right, for real.
as someone who's really into the foundations of skating, I really, really appreciate that. So I don't want to say I was surprised, but I was pleasantly surprised that she was still on the podium after the skate. I thought maybe the
Because
Americans
it
were.
went for the PCS. Yeah, it really was. It was like I was I'm trying to look up now what her PCS was. I'm pretty sure it was like mid high eights, right? Yeah, mid high eights. Yeah. And then so that was surprising. But I agree with that. Same view, 100%. I actually thought she should have had the silver overall here, just for the reasons I mentioned before with Kaori's Lutzes. And then, even if Kaori has this amazing power that you see in person and translate on TV, that's someone like Chiba has a lot more quiet, understated power. You're seeing it, especially live. It's just really beautiful to watch. And instead of kind of like, I'm not trying to say this it's like a negative, but instead of being like a rocket ship going around, she's just like a bird. She's a bird just
That's
breezing through.
beautiful
And
analogy.
yeah.
And you kind of
Yeah,
I
so.
think those foundations and those, we're gonna get into this in the last video about what the ISU we think the ISU needs to do to start making these programs a little bit better. But some skaters just don't have the time to really put the effort into the program. So it's nice to see skaters that actually have those moments where you're like, wow, this is really nice choreography, but it's not. Because they need to do it for an element. This is just like a good structured program, and I felt like that with her. I always feel like that with her. So let's talk about Isabel Lovito. Very pleasantly surprised with her as well. She is the queen, the absolute queen of just this perfect kind of stroking around the ice and smooth and never puts a foot wrong. And then you get to her flipping her Lutz and she slows way down and it's almost like she goes up on her toe pick and that kind of grinds her to a really slow entrance into the jumps. I feel like her edges are outside, inside, outside. And like you don't know what edge she's taking
Yeah.
off. She's gotten calls on both the flip and the Lutz at different times. But I have to say, as someone who's meticulous, I am meticulous. I'm like, that's an under rotation. That's not a cue. I'm very like, I'll post the videos and
His
it's
cues aren't
all over.
real. I mean, they're
The
not
cues are
real.
not real. That's another thing we're going to talk about. But with her, I have to say, like, even though she does slow down on those two jumps, especially, it did not take away from her performance for me at all. And generally, I will be the type of person that's like, oh, it's the end of the world. She did a Flutz. But for me, there's just so much good about her skating. I was very, very pleasantly surprised. I don't think anyone really expected her to be at this level.
No, I
Doing
didn't.
worlds because the competition she did a few weeks ago in for the pre-Olympic test, she was all right. She was not by any means great, and I think it had a lot of people kind of buzzing on whether she deserved to go to worlds or not, and she absolutely
She
proved
did. 100%, right.
Yeah.
And I think too, I think she's kind of proven this kind of up and down, like in terms of like mentally, like every once in a while we'll see her just kind of lose out a program, make a mistake, and then just makes atypical mistakes. But we're also seeing this other side to where no one knows, right, how she's going to be. Maybe she's not skating her best in practice, but she goes out and she delivers.
Yep.
And even though, like, when she fall on the triple flip, triple toe, she fell on the triple toe.
Oh,
Even
yeah.
that though was like performing as well as she did. I did not see that coming. And I agree with you a lot in that I enjoy her way more now than I did when she first broke onto the scene. And I think it's because even with these flaws that are still there, she's improving all of them. I don't think she's resting on her laurels. And even then, it's like I see that they're working on the flip technique. The flip looks way better than it did like 3 years ago. The Lutz, I feel like, is still
All over
kind of
the
like a roll
place.
of the dice. Really, yeah, it really is. It's all over the place, I would say. But at least here in the long, I saw clear inside edge for the Lutz. Both of them, there were two, I believe. Other than that too, I used to think too, she had to only skate to these kind of like shticky programs. Like I love that snake short program. I know I'm in the minority. It's very whatever, but it was amazing to me. Choreographically, transitionally, just excellent, perfect example of IJS skating. And I did not like this Breakfast at Tiffany's program this year when it came out.
Really?
But at Worlds, I loved
Oh,
it. I
I was going to say,
loved
listen,
it.
I was
It
at
was
Skate America.
so good. And that's just me. I think that's just me having a bias and that she just knocked out of me.
No, I think a lot of people felt that way because when you said you didn't like it, I'm like, really? And then you said, okay, I liked it at Worlds. I was at Skate America. I saw that first practice, and I remember putting somewhere, I said, what in the hell is this, like, juvenile mambo, whatever the second half of this program is, like, what is this? I really was confused, and I was like, this looks very immature. Like, you're trying to give a skater with no personality this music to try to draw it up. Worlds, it was so charming. She's
Yep.
developing into this beautiful,
And
and she's
are you realizing it's actually the opposite? It was the fact that she was so mature she could pull this
yeah,
off. Because
exactly.
not anyone could pull this off, right? And I believed it. I believed that she was the character. I felt that joy, the youthful fun. I wish I
It
was in
was
my
feel good.
20s
It was just
again. That's
feel
what
good.
it made me feel.
I know a few other people that said the same thing because I was fully ready to go on and be like, oh, this program. But it was so it was a feel good program. I don't know how else to put it. It was like, yes, like
No, that was
it
our Grinch moment
was
where she
there
warmed
was
our
no
cold
Amber
hearts.
Corwin, there was no Tierra, there was no, she didn't go all out, but it was really it was a beautiful, beautiful program. And I'm very, very happy for her to end her season like this as well. So
Me too, and I think she's a lock for the team next year, just
I think so
given
too.
her consistency the last 2 years, like this is at Worlds.
Okay, Amber Glenn. So obviously not the event that she wanted after the short
Right.
program. I have to say, I'm going to start off this conversation about her by saying, I don't know what was going on, but when she walked out for her entrance in the short, she just some I know someone's going to probably reply and say she was just very focused and she's very intense, but she had this look going into
Too
even when she
much.
was on the warm up, like maybe it was all hitting her all at once. Like it was almost like it was not anything I've seen all season, and I
Right.
started to worry for her for that in that very moment that I saw that.
I read it as almost like, you're putting on that stone face. You're gonna do this. You're kind of entering that. I almost felt like the assassin persona. You have a job to do, and you're just here to get it done. But I feel like what always makes her skating so great is that we're always on this emotional journey with her, whether or not it's to a great place or not a great place, we're there. And that's what it's always like. Whereas this, she's just, I felt like this whole competition, starting with that short program, the walkout, just closed herself off emotionally. And maybe she felt that's what she needed to handle all the pressure, the anxiety to get it done. But you can feel it in the program. You could see it in the PCS, even if generally due to the
Yeah,
mistakes of the
actually.
short program, they wouldn't have been as high, but they were lower than they were in the season, and when her PCS should have been here the highest in the season. So yeah, I you can really feel
So the short program obviously didn't go well for her. She wasn't in the final group. She comes back in the free skate. Again, it's not her best, and it's not, I mean, I'm sure she probably was
and
disappointed
she
with it, but
left points on the table even just then. Like it wasn't clean. What did she doubled something and then she singled the one of the double axels. And so even then, it was just like, what, 7.5 points she was leaving on the table on base value. And then some of the jumps weren't landed as well. I think Lutz was key or under. What do they call it?
It looked, I mean, in person, you could tell it was almost landed like rigidly. short, tight. She was tight, but towards the end of the program, I think she finally broke free. Like whatever was going on with the, I'm sure. Listen, she's won everything this season. She's a contender for the world title. She's never been on the podium. She's at home. Like, I'm sure it was a lot for
A
her. But I
lot.
feel like at the end of the program, I remember she does the flip towards the end of the program. Whatever she does it towards the end of the program, she flew into that jump. Like there was no question, I think, that she was going to land it. And the rest of the program just flowed really well. I respect her skating a lot watching it on TV, but in person, I think it's on a different level of just this flow and this kind of ease when she's not jumping. But I was very pleasantly surprised. She should be happy about fifth place. You know, I know she's going in as one of the favorites and she's not on the podium, but she redeemed herself. I just wish in that short program, maybe she was a little bit more relaxed.
Right, right. And at least she's at a case now. Like, last year she wasn't the skater to where if she skated clean, you knew she would medal. She's now that skater. If she skates clean, she will medal and likely
You know, she
win
skates
in
clean. She's
this
probably going to
field.
win the short by a lot, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
So.
Right. And I hope for a lot for her. I as a fan, I think it's one of those things, even for like a competitor, I'm sure it's the same. Hope for the best. And I hope to see her on the Olympic team next year. I hope she has a successful fall. I don't see why she wouldn't be on the Olympic team next year, other than just not having a great fall, but she should. She's literally
I think
like
her
one of the best
potential,
skaters
like
in
I
the
said,
world.
you know, she lands that triple axel in the short. She's pushing 80 points in the short
Yeah.
program. That's going to lead by a lot. You know, we don't know what they're going to do
And if
next.
she does triple axel, triple axel, triple axel, that PCS will climb. She'll be in the nines by, if she goes to the Olympics.
Yeah, we'll see.
We'll
I
see.
think those three definitely have a cushion right now, where as long as they're not really falling apart in the fall and someone else is
Right.
breaking through, I think those three are going to lead the way for the US. Okay, Waka Kikuchi, she's one of my favorite skaters
Me
for so
too.
long. I can see why she's, you know, I can see why she scored how she is. She's really not in that absolute top tier, even if she skates really well. But I have to say, the two programs she delivered this week, she was crying. Kaori was crying for her. It was like finally she's back, almost like all this relief.
Right.
Finally getting back to where she was. She's had a lot of injuries and a lot of setbacks in the last year. She was on the world podium 7 years ago already. So it's probably been a long journey back. She has one good year. She has a year or two off. She comes back. Really happy to see. I love her free skate. I love how the free skate builds. I think for her, I don't think she cared about the placement. I think she just was relieved to have this kind of skate. I think she is one of the audience favorites. I could just see and I can tell from even just reading online, like she has many, many fans. So I was really happy that she was able to skate like this.
It's the same for me too. Like I'm still trying to think of the first time I ever saw her skate. I could think about how I felt. I just don't remember that what it was, but it was just this easy power, coming from somebody, and this just very atypical of the Japanese style, right? You're
Yep,
not seeing
very.
someone skate like her. I think that's why she tends to not be scored as well, in Japanese nationals. But same thing here. I was really happy to see her skate well. I really hope she gets a triple axel back next year. I also know it kind of tends to be her downfall because she works on it and then gets injured. This is one of those moments to where that leader's chair was so great
Yeah,
because you
that
got to
was.
see them have this moment. And then even then, I remember telling you in practice to where just Higuchi, it's like when you see the long programs back to back, Higuchi looks way better to me because Kaori's just being really sloppy with all of her movements, just kind of pumping around the rink, trying to get everything done in time and hit the musical cues. Whereas Higuchi, everything just feels easy. The extension's better. The skating skills are just as good, if not better,
I
because
would
they're
say
more
better.
subtle. You're
I
not
would definitely
feeling
say
it.
better.
Exactly. Yeah, right. She's not like h having to try, overtly try to generate all this power. And so just a few
Her
things,
foot
though.
being on
I
a massive
really,
outside edge is one other thing, but
I
no
know.
cares.
I was about to
It's not
say that.
going
I
to
was about to
call it for
say that.
anybody
This
else.
is a skater to where I really hate some of these decisions that she and her team makes on when it comes to what jumps to do when. Like, why are we doing the flip in the short program still when it's always
You should do a
getting an
loop.
E or an inflection? Yeah, do the loop. The 0.3 points, you're worried about the 0.3 points, right? If you're
You're
an E.
gonna get hit with an E. You're gonna lose your base value. You're
Right.
gonna get negative GOA. In the end, you're gonna get 3 or 4 points more by doing a loop. You
Right.
know,
And
I
how
would.
many short programs had she done this year where all three triples had some type of call, right? And she can't afford that next year. So I'm really hoping she switches to the loop. And it always feels strange that she puts the flip as the last jump in the long. I
No, I
don't really
don't.
understand that either because it's most likely then to have that outside edge very deeply and clearly. And I didn't actually check the protocol though.
I
But
don't remember if she
yeah.
got called on it or not. I mean, she should, but it's one of
She
those,
should have,
you know, it's one of those skaters you just love so much. It's like, who cares? If they're not going to do it for anybody else, why do it for her?
They didn't call the flip. So yeah, right.
No,
Yeah, they
okay.
didn't call Kaori's list. They didn't call
Yeah, so
Wakanda's
whatever,
flip.
fair world, whatever.
Everybody gets it,
Yeah,
right?
everybody gets it.
Oh
So one of my highlights, and this is
yes.
off, but Benoit Richaud. So we talked about, you know, he's very hit or miss as a choreographer. Sometimes he gives these skaters this really weird backstory to their programs, and it's like, how do you get that out of this? You know, very introspective, very in his own world, like whatever you say. But Nina Pinzeroni has the two best programs, in my opinion, of all the skaters this year. Short program is really beautiful. Her spins are probably the best in the field, honestly. Her free skate, though, for me, is just on a different level. The dress is beautiful. The skating is beautiful. The music is beautiful. The way she holds her positions. She does a lot of moves in the field
That's
that remind me of like 90s skating, where it's not really forced upon you. It is just so beautiful. I know she is prone to being one of those skaters. She does have small jumps. She's going to probably get hit with a lot of under rotations or cue calls, or if she does get through her jumps, not necessarily the highest GOE. And I can see why. But as a program, and when we're talking about this PCS, which is completely separate, she deserves, in my opinion, to be at the top of women's skating in that regard. I'm blown away by her. I really am blown away by her.
You can really see that too, and oh God, there it was in that program, the long program, where she's just kind of leaning down, and you just see the curve and line between your head and her back, going all the way down, and it's just this perfect curve with an extension, and it's amazing. No one else in the world is doing that and creating those pictures like that. And I was talking to, Mr. Me, Mr. Josh, about this, not in regards to women, but someone else. But it's like, this is a picture. You can take a picture of this. And skating still used to be so much about this, creating those moments where you could see that and it really emphasizes something. And I hadn't thought about it. I hadn't been watching skating a lot as much this year as I usually do. And so when you were like, hey, watch this, I was just like, oh my God, you can see all the details. You can
Even in
see to
practice,
where they.
chills. Yeah. Like, it's so.
Now, it still was just like, oh no, that loop didn't make it
Yeah, of course.
around.
Oh, no,
You
that
know,
loop. I
like
can hear
every
it
time.
coming.
But
Yeah. But
but
no,
no, the program was.
I really respect her overall skating. I think she should be rewarded a lot more on that regard than she is.
She should not be in a competition with Lona and getting lower PCS. 100%. She should be easily having that. Yeah.
Another one I was actually pretty surprised with is Kimi Rupan. She has a huge following.
In what
She
way?
he's I always thought she was maybe moving a, she reminds me of 2002, 2003 Carolina Kostner. The long arms, the maybe not so refined
If
movements,
she used to be like that, yeah.
but you know, I mean, I thought that even maybe a little bit earlier this year, but I saw her,
Really?
and I'm like, wow, she is so elegant. She is
Yep.
elegant. Like we said earlier, you know, they mentioned in the Kiss and Cry interview, the free skate did not start for her how she wanted it to, but she really came back. That program is a tribute to Kevin Amos's free skate that he had in 2023. She said she was encouraged by seeing him. I would personally change the music, edit around a little bit more to get the upbeat stuff going earlier than 30 seconds before it ends. But I really was very, very pleasantly surprised with her throughout the competition too, regardless of the mistakes. Really, really quality skating, and she will be the one to beat, I think, in a
Next
few.
quad,
Yeah,
European.
she's gonna be up there for
But
sure.
she has a European bronze already, doesn't she?
She already has, yeah.
Yeah. No, she's literally one of my favorite skaters to watch too, just for that too. And it's that extending to the fingertips every time, and just that ability to hold very natural but easy tension. I feel like a lot of skaters, they can do it, but only with intensity. She can do it with this softness that just is unrivaled in skating right now. And I wish she had more consistent jumps. I remember seeing those first two falls and just.
He came back really nicely though, because
She did, she did, she did. Yeah.
it was a question of whether Switzerland was going to be able to hold the two spots for the Olympics or not when she started making all those mistakes. I mean, all those as in two mistakes, but she came back really well, and she should be proud. You know, I she was one that I don't think they should have put the microphone in her face, but she said something about being happy and energized by the audience. So it's, you know, it's okay.
And she just made the two spots, right?
Yeah, she was 12th.
Yeah. Oh my God, by like
Yeah.
a
I
point and
mean,
a half, like not even.
it's
Oh
just
wow.
So good for her. My highlight of the short program, and I think you had not seen the program yet, and I said, watch, like this is gonna bring the house down if she skates it well, is
Yes.
Rebecca Goodman. I have to say, she could take it to a
So
whole
good.
other level too. There's a lot she could have still done in that intensity of that program, but the music is so cool. She does a spin during this like clown music basically, and it's just so different. Like it's everything is so different. If you watch Squid Game, if you know anything about it, it's not telling the story of Squid Game, but it's just so out there and it's so different. And it's really in a generation of skaters that usually pick these kind of lyrical, soft, don't have the distance.
I
I love that program.
know.
And I said early in the season, I said, if she's
Same.
going to Worlds and she hits this, the audience is going to go crazy. And I feel like she was one of the first skaters in the short program where the audience really was like into it, you know?
It
So.
was just cool. It was just cool. I mean, you could see that too, to where it was for a younger audience. We could hear kind of like the older audience around us just like, what is this? Like, I don't understand this. But you know that even
It.
that. Right, that's fine. Who cares? Do you understand most programs going on? No,
Yeah.
that's great. But even this one, like it just was unique. Just like you were saying, like they were doing the whole video game sounds, that dun dun
Yep.
dun 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 dun, like the
Yep.
countdown music
During
during her
the
spin, and it's just
spin.
building up to this thing, and you're just like, I don't know what's going on, but I really want to keep going with you. And what was it, Ready Player 431 or whatever it was at the end, 451,
Or
whatever they this.
whatever the last player is, I
Yeah,
forget.
whatever it is. Yeah, I was just literally like,
Or
that was this is the
maybe.
coolest program. This is the coolest program. Please keep this program for next year. I want to see it again. This is easily something that, like, in an Olympic year, people will go crazy for. And I really hope she does that.
Sofia Samodolkina, I am so impressed with her. She is so old school on her jumps in the best way. She's a big jumper. She is a big jumper. She holds her landing edges. They get distance, they get height. Her choreography is a little bit off kilter. It's unique in a good way. The music is good. I thought going into this, you know, she really has a chance at the top 10 here. I think she made her case to get scored a lot higher than she did. But I think she's another one, give her a little bit more time, and she's going to be way up there as well.
Yeah, definitely. Wasn't she first group, something like that, first or second in the short
At
program?
early in the short.
Yeah, something just so out of place. And it was just literally just like, oh my God, just like that you're saying, like how big the jumps are, reminded me of like those classic 90s skaters again. And just the detail in the choreography that from before, you just feel like everyone's going element to element. They're just struggling to even just finish the program, and she's sitting there performing for us. I was really too taken aback by how low the PCS was, other than early group scoring. I really thought she could have easily been in like eighths for some of these,
Yeah, in the top 10 for sure.
for some of our PCS. And like you're just saying, like those jumps, it's just where did those come from? It
They're so
easily is some of
smooth,
the
you know. I
best.
mean, she did have a mistake in her pre-skate. She fell on maybe a Lutz. I don't remember, but it was towards the end of the program, and it was very unexpected because she was just so on fire. But even so, I really think she's going to be another one that's way up there with some more time. And as her ranking gets higher and she skates later, I think it's going to make all the difference.
Yeah, the one thing I would add is that like everything is there. There's just this, I feel like she's just quite not in, as emotionally invested in her performance. But even then, who really is these days in skating? And if that's my criticism, you know, I think she's really good. She should have been top 10 for sure, I think.
Julie, I'm just gonna throw in some other names that
Okay.
I add. You add whatever you want as well. Julia Sauter from Romania, I'm telling you, this girl, I felt so bad. She was one of the skaters where I really, really edited out her video from practice because she was not having good practices to the point I think she was in tears on the ice. She was in tears talking.
God.
No jumps were working for her. She was not happy. And then she goes to the short program. She delivers her short program. I think she was like 15th in the short, has her Olympic spot easily done. Relief. I think she's a beautiful skater. I think that she also has a kind of a throwback 90s 6.0 system skating. Nothing really over the top, just really, really, really nice skating. So I was happy to see that she qualified quite easily and she had a pretty decent competition. It kind of came undone in the free skate, but still, she's someone I
But
consistently enjoy every time I see her.
mean, even just making the free skate was kind of in question for her. And so the fact that she did that, I got leave a spot. I'm like, yeah, great Worlds. Like, for real. Like, I've That's something I was explaining to Mr. Me too, was just like the extra importance of this world. They're not just trying to place here, they're trying to qualify spots for the Olympics.
And for someone like her, she's from Romania. It's either her spot or it's,
Right, exactly. All of them.
The first skater in the short program, Nargis Suliminova of Azerbaijan, she first of all, she missed the free skate by 1/100th of a point, literally 1/100th of a point, and she would have
Few
most
times is
likely
okay.
had an Olympic spot. But she started off that short program so well. That set the tone, I think, for the entire day. The audience was so happy for her. She was so happy. Skated really, really well. Disappointing, obviously, to be the first spot missing the Olympics, but she always has the qualifying competition in the fall. I don't know that she's going to be a favorite for one of the spots because of the other skaters that really bombed the short program that will be back for that competition. But she was a bundle of energy, and I really enjoyed her as well, even in the practice too.
And then even then, I'm like, speaking of which,
Yeah. And I
yeah,
have
I'll let you
three
start on
skaters
this
that
side.
really, yeah. So, skaters from China, Georgia, and Korea, who all potentially could be fighting for top 10, all missed the free skate. In the case of Korea, Ah Sun-yun, she's now not by any fault of her own, but Korea's only down to two spots for the Olympics. Gubanova should probably be the favorite to qualify in first place for
Right,
the
she will,
all-time match.
unless she has another similar
Yeah. I
performance.
mean,
I think
even
that's
so, though,
what
there's
it
two
does go
programs
to.
there, which is going to help a lot of those skaters.
Right.
Because if you bomb one, you can catch up. Here, it's like, you bomb your short program, it's over. So I think she's gonna be okay. You have any thoughts about any of the other skaters?
I really don't. It was really just Gubanova. I'm honestly not the biggest fan of Gubanova. I think her skating is fairly robotic wooden. She's never really there. Everything's just kind of like, like
I feel like
she
she's
doesn't need
bored.
this.
Yeah,
She's bored, exactly.
she's
Like,
bored. She has really
there's
nice
no
arms, but
right.
she's bored. I'm
Yeah,
not
she's
sure what's
bored,
going
right?
on.
I get that sense a lot, but this was still really heartbreaking. Like, because when she, God, it's hard to think about. Like, she made me really emotional watching her like see the disappointment and that emotion. It honestly wasn't something I was expecting, and I don't know why. Maybe it was my own bias, just from her skating. But but she should get the Olympic spot.
Yeah, she'll
That's what
get
is it? So
a
it's
spot.
yeah. Does anyone need to qualify the additional spots?
Do
Three
what?
for Worlds, but only two for the Olympics for the women.
For who?
Oh, any countries that qualified three spots for Worlds, but not three for the Olympics, and will have to go to the qualifying
I
competitions. I
don't
don't think
think
for
so.
women there are any.
No.
Yeah,
I
everyone.
mean, Luna Hendricks is obviously, if she's healthy, she's going to be a favorite for those spots as well, because Nina held the two spots for she I should say she earned the two spots because there was only one Belgian
Right.
skater there.
So of the five, we've got Belgium most likely getting one,
Yeah.
likely China, likely Georgia, and then we've got basically two that are kind of okay.
Yeah, two spots left because there's only 29 entries now in the Olympics for single skating. Thank you, IOC, for cutting down on the quotas.
Right, because they're trying to add some sport.
Yeah. Okay, so that is our wrap up of basically the arena, our thoughts about that, and the women's competition. In the next video, we're
Yeah.
going to talk about pairs and ice dance. So stay tuned. This is the skating session.